Welcome to the Messy Walk Podcast with Pastor Adam Cook, where our goal is to have a genuine and authentic conversation about the Christian faith journey and what a messy walk with Jesus really looks like. Make sure to follow us for future episodes that will be posted regularly each Wednesday. We hope you enjoy this episode.
Hey, welcome to the Messy Walk Podcast. I'm your host, Steph, here with Pastor Adam.
Hello, everybody. Hey, hey.
Hello, and we're glad you're joining us again to continue this series we're in.
Yeah.
Any questions?
We're almost done with it. We're almost finished with the series. Me and Steph are personally done with it, but we're almost finished with the series.
So. Like, we're done, yeah, like but y'all are about done. To be done.
Right. We're going to push through and answer two more. So we got one today, and we got one coming up on the next episode, and then we're going to wrap it up. So
yes.
Today, what episode are we, Steph?
215. Crazy.
Another any questions that somebody asked us, and the question today is what, Steph?
Who is allowed to baptize people?
Yeah, who's allowed to baptize folks?
Good question.
I've actually gotten this question quite a few times in the last several months. Somebody sent it to us when we were talking about questions, and then somebody asked me about it again on Sunday. I really, as a pastor, we get this question a lot, right? All the time. And it comes up frequently when people are signing up to get baptized, right? So we have a baptism coming up this Sunday. I think there's 15 people getting baptized, which is cool. And this comes up quite frequently around baptism because they want me to be the one to baptize them, right? And so this question comes up a lot. Just so you know, how we do this at Union, or how we prefer to do it, how we prefer it to happen, I think is at its most biblical. And the way this would look, and I'm going to explain it biblically in a minute, who gets to baptize people, but this is how we'd like it to look. The person that baptizes you is the person who led you to Christ, or the person who's been most formative in you coming to Jesus. That should be the person that baptizes you, not just the person with the title of pastor or whatever. That's what it should look. So that's what we really want it to look like the most, and I think that's the most biblical. It's not the most biblical. It's not like it's wrong, but it's not the most biblical for the pastor to baptize you, or if you're a student, the youth pastor to baptize you, or if you're a kid, the kids director or kids pastor or whatever word it is to baptize you. It's actually most biblical for the person who's led you to Christ or the person who's been most formative in your faith to baptize you. And so why do we believe this? Why do we believe that it's not just the pastor? This is how we answer that question of who's allowed to baptize. The Bible does not specifically address this question. There's lots of references and stuff. We'll look at some of them as we go through. But the Bible does not specifically say this is who is supposed to baptize and this is how it's supposed to go down. And I think that you get your answer to this question, who is allowed to baptize, who are the people that can baptize people, I think you get it by the text not saying it. I'll show you what I mean. So if you look through the baptisms recorded in the Gospels and the book of Acts, it appears like all that somebody needs to be to baptize other people is you need to be a disciple of either Jesus, or you see a disciple of John the Baptist in the Gospels. Or to be a better way to put it is to be a godly Christian. So in the book of Acts, you see that people who are baptizing are godly Christian. A godly Christian means that somebody who's sharing the gospel of salvation through Jesus Christ, and they're the ones that is considered a Christian, right? They're living a Christ-like and they're sharing the gospel. That would be the person who you see in Acts doing this. And so what happens is these people are sharing the gospel, and then as a result of believing the good news that this person is sharing about Jesus, then people are willing or desiring to be baptized. And so here's a few examples of these godly Christians in the book of Acts. So you get Peter, for example, who and the apostles, who baptized large numbers in Acts chapter 2, as people respond to the gospel of Christ, right? Mm-hmm. You see later on Philip, who ends up being the first deacon. So Philip, definitely not a pastor, definitely not an apostle. He ends up becoming the first deacon, right? They figure out who's going to be the deacon because they need some people to take care of feeding the orphans and the widows, right? And so Philip pops up. He preaches the gospel in Samaria, and he baptizes believers as he preaches the gospel, as they come to Christ. You see this in Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 8. You might even see it in 7 too. But 6, 7, and 8 is where you get a good chunk about Philip. Paul baptized some of those people who trusted in Christ in the course of his missionary journeys and his church planting work. But apparently he also let other people do the baptizing instead of him. So if you look at Acts chapter 16, for example, you'll see where he talks about baptizing people. But if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and if you want to look at this on your own, we're not going to read it. 1 Corinthians 1, 10 through 17, you'll see where he talks about, references, that he didn't do all the baptizing, that other people in the congregation, other believers of Jesus, baptized the people he's writing this letter to in the Corinthian church. And so the main place that we see the answer to this question is found in the Great Commission, right, of who can baptize, right? So Great Commission, Steph, Matthew 28, last two verses, 18 through 20. Everybody should hopefully know this by heart, but just in case, we're going to read it out loud anyway.
You said that, and I was like, oh, yeah. All right. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age."
End of the age, end of the world, right? So Jesus, resurrected Jesus, about to ascend in heaven, gives us the Great Commission. And everybody has heard this before. Go and make disciples. Mm-hmm. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So that's why when we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And then teach them to obey everything I've commanded of you. That's Jesus' Great Commission. It is widely interpreted that this is a commission that is given to all Christians. Like, when you read that, Steph, does it make you think, oh, this is what pastors are supposed to do? They're the ones that go make, you know, Jesus just talking to the apostles here? Is it just the pastors and leaders in the church that mm-hmm. would make disciples and baptize?
No.
No. And it's widely interpreted. Has been for millennia. Mm-hmm. All the way in the early church. All the way. This is mainline Christian thought that has been an orthodox Christian thought that's been around a long time. That statement is geared towards all believers, all followers of Jesus. So that means that the authority to baptize is given to all Christians. Mm-hmm. All those who are followers of Jesus, disciples of Jesus. Jesus is giving them this commission. It's not just to pastors, not just to apostles, not even just to deacons, like we referenced earlier with Philip, but it's to everybody who's a follower of Jesus. And the epistle, the letter there, the epistles never really discuss who it is to baptize. What is actually discussed is the meaning behind baptism, right? That's what's discussed a lot. And so what you see when you read Acts, when you read the Gospels as well, but mostly Acts and the epistles, the letters from Paul, the proper understanding of salvation and the symbolism of baptism is more important than who's doing the baptism, right? And so based on the Great Commission, as well as the silence remaining on this topic throughout all of Acts and all the epistles, any true believer has authority from God to baptize, just like they have the authority from God to evangelize or share the gospel and make disciples, right? Where you get your answer is how quiet the epistles are from Paul on this topic. Like if Jesus's Great Commission statement was not to everybody who was a follower, if it was just to the leaders, then you would see, I think, in the letters from Paul and the other epistles in the New Testament, not just from Paul, but from John, from Peter, right, the writer of Hebrews, you would see them saying only the leaders can baptize, right? You would see some sort of factor driven to you have to have these qualifications to baptize people, but you don't see that at all, right? So I think the silence of the rest of the New Testament and Jesus' Great Commission tells you that anybody who's a follower of Jesus can make disciples, right? And anybody who's a follower of Jesus can baptize those disciples. And anybody who's a follower of Jesus can teach those disciples to obey everything that Jesus has commanded, right? That, in other words, who can baptize people? Anybody who's a follower of Christ. So that's why the most biblical way to do this is that you are baptized by the person who has led you to Jesus or who has been most formative in you coming to Christ, right? That's why having a small group leader baptize people, or you know, a person who is, you know, just your friend who's been the one who's talked to you about Jesus, and they're the ones that baptize you, that's the most biblical, not just having a pastor baptize you. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So you see this through the scripture, not specifically, but you can read through the silence on it to tell you that. And plus, I don't know what else you do with the Great Commission. If you decide that only certain people can do the baptizing, then you got to do something different with the Great Commission. You have to interpret it in a different way, right? But everybody interprets the Great Commission as who's supposed to go make disciples? Everybody who's a Christian is supposed to go make disciples. Well, then you can't then take that part out and not ignore the part that he says, and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Holy Son, and Holy Spirit. So it's not that you would lead somebody to Christ, make disciples, and then bring them to the official baptizer to be baptized, right? That's not the case. So anybody can baptize. For me, now I have baptized a ton of people in my life, in my career, but I would have liked to, this is going to sound weird, I would have liked to baptize less and had other people who were more formative in their coming to Christ baptize them instead, right? Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So like when our children got baptized, all of them have been baptized now, Valerie baptized them all, not Aww. Me, right? Now I was in the water with them, but Valerie baptized them. The person who has baptized the most people at Union Church, other than me, is not a not a leader, not a staff member. It is a kid's classroom teacher. It's my father.
Aww.
My father has baptized the second most people at Union Church because those kids that he worked with, they wanted Larry to baptize them, right? Because he's the one who was formative in their faith.
Yeah.
And that's the way this thing works the best. That's the way it's most. It's not like it's not unbiblical for you to be baptized by, you know, the pastor, right? It's not unbiblical. There's nothing wrong with it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just what you see all throughout the Gospels is people are teaching and talking about Jesus, right? Some of those teachings are coming from the apostles. Some are coming from people like Philip. Some are coming from, you know, Stephen. Some are coming from other apostles. Some are coming from people you don't even know, right? No-name people. And then those people are then in the process of baptizing those people, right? So all of us are supposed to share the gospel. All of us are supposed to make disciples. And when you make a disciple, what you do next is help them take the next step of baptism, right? Baptism is hugely important. It's not your salvation, but it's the first chance you get as a Christ follower to obey, right? It's your first step of obedience where Jesus says, be baptized, and you say, yes, okay, mm-hmm. I'll do it. And the goal would be is that you get baptized as close to the moment as you get saved, right? At the next available opportunity is the way we like to say it. And then what would be awesome is you're baptized by the person who has led you to Jesus or been most formative, right? So this question always comes from a state of people wondering if it's some official thing to be the person who does the baptizing. Or this question always comes from somebody who is involved in bringing somebody to Christ, and that person asks them to baptize them, and they don't know. They're like, I don't know the rules, right? Well, the rules are, if you're a follower of Christ, you can baptize people, right? And I would love for that to be what the church looks like mostly, instead of the pastor doing all the baptisms. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like, that would be the most true to the heart of the Great Commission, right? Make disciples, and then baptize those disciples, and then continue to help grow those disciples by teaching them to obey everything Jesus has commanded. That comes through all of us individually with each other, not just from some pastor, you know, role. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. Pretty cool question.
It is a good question.
It's a fun question to answer. Because I don't know. We just get so caught up in roles.
Yes.
Right? Get so caught up in roles that we would, and we also diminish. There's lots of ways why by getting caught up in roles, we diminish the role that the everyday Christian plays.
Yes.
And the power and empowerment that you have from the Holy Spirit to, you know, you ain't got to be a pastor to make disciples, right? If all disciple making is left up to pastors, we are in trouble, right? Because there ain't enough pastors to go around. to make the disciples that need to be made, right? Mm-hmm. To meet the need. There's not enough. You don't have to be a pastor to make disciples. You don't have to be a pastor to baptize people. If you look at it biblically, all it is somebody who is following Jesus, right? And then they share the gospel, whether it be in a crowd or one-on-one, and then they're helping the person get baptized. And then, don't miss that last part, they're continuing to help that person that they have brought into the faith grow mm-hmm. in obeying what Jesus has commanded of us, right? Very much a, what that laid out right there is a, we use the word mentor or leader, but the better word is a spiritual mother or a spiritual father, right? And every single Christ follower is called to be a spiritual mother or a spiritual father for someone, and to also have a spiritual mother or a spiritual father for themselves, right? So you should get, long way to say this, you should get baptized by your spiritual mother or your spiritual father. That's who you should get baptized by. Fun question. I can't remember who asked this question.
I love it.
It's on the list. Let me see if I can find it. I don't know if I can find it this quick. You'll have to talk in the meantime, Seth.
Yeah. Well, I've said this before, but you baptized me when I was 17.
I did.
How old were you, you think?
How many years ago has that been?
That was 2010.
I would have been beginning like 30.
Crazy.
Something like that, like 30.
Yeah, but I remember being really excited at the time because I was just really honestly visiting that church at the time.
I remember.
But I felt so moved and ready to get baptized, and that was one of those where y'all had called people to come down if they're ready, and I was just like, I'm ready. And I'll never forget, that was one of the easiest decisions.
Yeah, that was like a spontaneous moment.
It was.
We had people getting baptized on, you know, that were signed up for it, but it was like a spontaneous moment. Very cool.
Yeah, I was like, I was in that place too where I was ready to move forward in my faith. So it was a really good memory for me.
Austin Carr. That's who asked that
Austin
question.
Austin Carr?
Austin Carr.
Yay.
Austin, thank you for asking that question.
I don't know why I was thinking it was someone else. Thank you, Austin.
Thanks for asking that question. It's a very, very good question that does not get talked about hardly at all. I don't think I've ever preached a message on something like that, right? You know, we've referenced it multiple times. I actually reference it quite a bit when people like, I have our team trained that when somebody comes up and asks to be baptized, we ask them, who do you want to baptize you? Right? Who led you to Christ? Who's formative? And we want them to say, we're trying to get them to say somebody other than the guy who preaches on Sunday. But
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we're trying to get them to say. But and don't get me wrong, I have loved participating in all these baptisms. And we've baptized 1,300 people in the last 13 years. But you know, over the course of my time in ministry, I probably baptized right around 2,000 people, which is amazing. Don't get me wrong. But, there is something special about being in that baptism tank or standing beside it and watching somebody climb in with the person who led them to Christ, with the person who is formative, and then baptizing them. Right? Mm-hmm. There's just something special about it. So, Austin, if you're asking this because you want to know if you're qualified, if you're a follower of Jesus, buddy, you're qualified. So, make you some disciples and find you some water. That's what I say.
Yeah. Make sure it's not still water.
Still water stank.
It can be dangerous too.
I baptized some people with some dirty water before. I baptized a bunch of I baptized some teenagers in Lake Erie, in the Great Lake of Lake Erie, which is crazy because Lake Erie's like I don't know if you've ever been to the Great Lakes. Well, you have because you're Michigan, but the Great Lakes are oceans. You cannot tell the difference.
They look like oceans.
When you stand in front of it, you cannot tell the difference between that and the Atlantic Ocean. Like you can't tell the difference. So I baptized some kids in Lake Erie before. I baptized some people, some students in Key West, Florida.
That's cool.
I baptized people in ponds, rivers, lakes, and pools, and and then baptismal tanks. Right, but if that's why you're asking this. Make you some disciples, brother, in Jesus, right? And baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
That's right.
Cool question. Thank you, Austin.
Yes, thank you, Austin.
Cool question.
And thank y'all for joining us.
Yep. We'll see you again next week. We've got one more question, and then we're putting this series to bed because we're tired of it. But we don't know what's coming next. That's just how it goes.
Yes.
Any questions? No, no more. We're going to do the last one. So
it's like, it's been cool. Don't say any more.
The next question is coming up is, what does God mean by the testing scripture in Malachi about the tithe? That's what we're going to answer next. So these are pretty cool questions to end with. So we'll answer them. We'll answer that next one next time, and we're done. We're
yes. finished.
We're about to find something else.
Al dente.
You're thinking spaghetti.
I'm hungry. Anyway.
All right, guys.
Thanks for joining us.
See you later.
See ya.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us on the Messy Walk Podcast with Pastor Adam Cook. Make sure to follow us for future episodes that will be posted regularly each Wednesday. Have a good day.